We are going to forego the anthem this morning, so if you would please join me in the book of Jude, that little small book just to the left of the book of Revelation. There are those commentators that refer to the book of Jude as the foyer to the book of Revelation, because as you're going to hear just in a few moments, Jude begins turning his attention to judgment and end times, which is what the book of Revelation speaks of. I'm going to pick up at verse 3, and then I will continue through the end of the chapter. I know your bulletin says 16, but I'm going to go ahead and go through the end of the chapter. Hear the inerrant, inspired word of the living God. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people, who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under the gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulge in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. And when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feast, as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against them, against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Do others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of the glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen and amen." The church is under attack from Satan and his minions. The apostates, those who would find themselves in religious atmospheres, have now turned away from those true religious things, and they are leading others away from that truth by their lies. And they are working their way into the church. Last week, Jude called on the church, you and I, to contend for the faith, to fight to protect the truths of Jesus Christ, to fight to protect the church. And as we read here in verse 4, he says, "For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people." This is what's so sad in the church today, that there are those who have crept into the church and have now gained favor within the church. Yet, as Jude gives us here, ungodly people, designated, foreknown by God himself, but yet designated for condemnation. But again, what is so surprising, well, what is so astonishingly challenging is these people, as Jude has written here, they come to the feasts, they sit among the people and gorge themselves, and are accepted by the masses. Jude here is writing to confront the evil works of apostasy. Apostasy can mean many things, but simply it means one who was in and a part of the religious atmosphere, not a believer, not one redeemed, but a part of the religious atmosphere, yet now have turned away from that position and lead others. Why is Jude calling on us to contend for the faith, to fight? Because we are in the end times. You go back to the parable of the wheat and the tares. Well, the tares are growing in strength and growing in numbers. False teachers have slipped in almost unnoticed among the people, and the saints are being challenged greatly. Just as this letter was written for those who heard it and read it, Jude's writing, it's written for us today. As I said last week, there is much dilution and error within the teaching of the church. I'll hit a few here just in a few moments. And just as Jude was facing the apostates in his day, so are we today. So Jude calls on the church to be on guard, calls on the church to be vigilant, calls on the church to be pursuers, to be Berean, to seek after the truth. But he also seeks to reassure us, just as we did last week. He's going to do it in a different fashion this week. But he seeks to reassure us, because remember, we are the ones called of God. We are the ones who live in the love of God. That's our status, that's our being, that's our existence. And we are being kept. The most reassuring thing I can tell you, we're being kept. Challenged, yes, but kept for Jesus Christ. This should comfort the church of Jude's day and us as well. As I said, he continues in this portion of Scripture to assure them, although it may not sound like it in the beginning, and he does it by outlining just what will happen to those apostates, those unbelievers, those who have rebelled, those who are misleading the church. What will happen to those on that great day of the Lord and that judgment day coming? Well, he will return, and he will judge those ungodly people, such as these false teachers, just as the apostates who occupy the church in our day. But there's an underlying message here that we have to consider. There's an underlying, yes, the judgment's going to be vast and drastic here just in a moment, but there's an underlying issue we need to consider. The false teachers in the church only gain power and authority by those who follow, by those who listen. If no one's listening, they won't stay. So are we among those that listen to those false teachers? Are our ears tickled by their words and they draw us off track? Again, you cannot gain power and authority among a people unless the people listen. So we must ask ourselves, are we listening? In this dynamic, I hope we're on the straight and narrow. But outside the church, there are many who preach and teach a very unbiblical message. And I see the quotes on Facebook, and I hear you using their teachings. I'm going, please be careful. Easily misled. Jude 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy. We are being kept, so we must be attentively waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to come and rescue us from this place. Philippians 2 says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not gain your salvation. That's the gift from Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. But we are to be working to build that salvation and our sanctification in the work of the Holy Spirit. We are to be vigilant. We are to keep ourselves in the love of God. We cannot sit by idly and think, oh, we're okay. We're out here in the rural, beautiful West Ireland. You know, the false teachers aren't out here. They're not coming here to get us. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And to show the severity of the judgment, Jude cites three Old Testament examples of exactly what God's judgment will look like. First of all, verse 5. Jude writes, now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. First, we have an issue here that I never really found a good resolution. Jude writes that it was Jesus who saved the people out of the land of Egypt. Thank you, David. That's a bit of a historical problem. It's also a textual problem, and I'm not going to get all that in deep depth with it. The actual word in the Greek here is kurios, and it should be Lord. Why Jude referred to Lord as Jesus when only the word kurios was the word he used, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Was it Jesus Christ who led the Israelites out of Egypt? No, it was not. Not the incarnate Christ. It was God in the form of the fire and the smoke. We know the story. But there are those who feel like it was pointing to the incarnate Jesus Christ. And I could go on for this for an hour and never find an answer. Was it God who led the people out of Egypt? Yes. The point here is that, yes, God led out, but what happened, what action did God take to those who did not believe? He destroyed them. What will happen to those in Jude's day that do not believe? He's going to destroy them. What's going to happen to those in our day that do not believe? He's going to destroy them. Second judgment, verse 6. Notice the ascending severity of judgment as we move through these. Verse 6. And the angels, who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Most believe this is pointing to Genesis chapter 6, where the sons of God, angelic beings, came down out of heaven and had intimate relationships with the daughters of men, the Nephilim. A very challenging text, a very hard to explain text, but it was the angelic beings leaving the place of authority that God has given them. And then used that authority to abuse and overwhelm the young ladies and had sexual relationships, and there were children born to this relationship. And their judgment, they are being kept in eternal chains and gloomy darkness until that judgment day. And in that judgment day, they then will see the wrath of God because of that act they took so long ago. Here are angelic beings who have been given a position of authority by God himself, but then abused that authority by abusing the people. For those of you in church leadership, this has a strong message. This has a strong message. A great, great message for us in authority by God within the church today. God has ordained the leadership to provide and care for and protect the people. We cannot, we should not, must not abuse that authority by taking advantage and abusing the people. What will be the outcome of those who do such things? Very similar to what we read here. We will be held in bondage until that great day of judgment. Those in authority, hear these words. Mark chapter 9. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. That's the reason it is so critical. We do not put people in position of authority in the church until God calls them into that place. And then we do it very, very carefully, with great awe and reverence. With great awe and reverence. Because one and put in authority over the church and over God's people, if they are not ready for that and abuse the people, then you can hear the kind of judgment that will be awaiting. What about these false teachers of Jude's day? What is their day of judgment going to be like? What about the false teachers in our church today? What is judgment day going to be like for those individuals? 3rd example of judgment, verse 7. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desires, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Again, the first ones were simply destroyed, which is bad enough. The second group was held for the eternal judgment. But here you see the destruction of these individuals by that eternal fire. That eternal fire, and again, pointing to the fires of hell that await these in judgment. Sodom and Gomorrah, almost nothing more needs to be said. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were destroyed by fire because of their blatant sinfulness, most especially their sexual immorality, and Jude even mentions it here. Genesis 19 tells the story of visitors coming in to visit Lot. They were angels, although the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah didn't know they were angels. They looked like regular men. But yet it was the custom of this day that when visitors would come into the city, then all of the men, or many of the men, would go and pursue them to have sexual relations with them. It was a common practice of the day. These guests of Lot were approached. Lot stole them into his home to protect them. But these men, it was the custom of the day that they abandoned their rightful desires instilled in them by God Himself for the unnatural desires feeding their own lustfulness. The sin of unrepentant homosexuality will one day face the judgment of God Himself. The judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah was destruction by fire, and it will be the same for those who have not repented of their sinfulness. In Holy Text, the sin of this nature, adultery, finds some of the most frightful language. It's an abhorrence to God. Jude is writing of it in his day. It took place in Lot's day. It is taking place in our day. But again, what is so incredibly sad is that the church, many facets, many in the church are rationalizing Scripture to such a way that homosexuality is being accepted. Not only accepted, but being promoted as a higher sphere of life, if you will. I read articles this week, and it's amazing. We call it word gymnastics. These individuals who would promote homosexuality, when the church go to Paul's writings, and when Paul writes about sexual immorality and mentions homosexuality verbatim, they argue that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a sin that took place in the first century that isn't even happening today. I'm going, are you reading the same Bible I am, brother? Judgment Day is coming. And it will be more than harsh for those in the church who violate the purity of holy text and intentionally and blatantly mislead the people. Again, those in the position of authority will be held to a higher standard. Judgment Day is coming. Here we see three examples of God's judgment that in Jude's day, and in our day, it should not be taken lightly. It should not be taken lightly. Then Jude's audience hears the application of these acts of judgment. Look with me at verse 8. He's given us these three examples, and he said, yet in the like manner. So did you hear all this stuff going on in the Old Testament and what God did to these? All right, yeah, here in the like manner, in the same way, these people, these false teachers, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. Just like the Israelites who were disobedient and were destroyed, like the sons of God who were held in eternal chains, and like Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire, so will these. So will these. Those who rely on their dreams. Those who rely on their own rational thinking to come to the meaning of text. Those who defile the flesh. Again, given that we've had two illustrations, of sexual immorality, I think you can get a sense of what's going on in Jude's day as well. Those who defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they blaspheme the glorious ones, meaning they don't hold in high awe and reverence the things of heavenly nature, the things of the heavenlies. Judgment Day is coming. Judgment Day is coming for these in Jude's day as well as in our day. Jude is a challenging writer. And as I pointed to one textual error or one area earlier that we just have a hard time, verse 9 is another one. Just look briefly. Verse 9 is difficult to interpret and to apply. It reads, but when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Again, a challenging passage. The common view here of this is that the writer Jude is contrasting the actions of Michael the angel with these false teachers. While these false teachers in this physical way, in this temporal earthly way, are blaspheming everything about anything having to do with God. But here we have the illustration of Michael battling with Satan over the body of Moses, yet did not to presume anything of a blasphemous nature, but gave the rebuking judgment to God himself. He just simply said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. He stayed within the parameters of what was his capacity to do as an angel. Now, why was Satan trying to steal Moses' body? There is nowhere in holy text that this is mentioned. This actually comes out of a Jewish tradition, the Testament of Moses. It was a book written many, many centuries ago. But why Jude? It was a common story of their day, and so it had a meaning to them. Judgment Day is coming. And Jude here has given us some strong language of what that judgment has looked like and will look like. Go with me to verse 14. Judgment day is coming. Verse 14, it was also about these, the false teacher of Jude's day, that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly and all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are the grumblers, the malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. I don't think a whole lot of comment is necessary here. Jude is pointing to this group of individuals within the church that is diluting the people. Loud-mouthed boasters. Seen any of those on television lately? Sure we have. Judgment day is coming, and that day will be the wrath of God unleashed upon the ungodly to such a degree that they will reflect and be reminded of the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Where do we stand? This does beg the question, though. We have heard plenty here now about what happens to these ungodly individuals, the pagan that does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What will the day of judgment be like for the believer? Is judgment day for the believer something we should fear? Jude gives us these words of encouragement. Verse 17. Notice the beautiful word, but. This is what's going to happen to these. But this is for you, believer. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit, but you, believer, you beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Jude does not make that conditional. He does not say waiting if the love, he said waiting for the mercy, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those. Excuse me, I'm going to stop there. Waiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the place of the Christian now. Judgment day is coming. Judgment day is coming and the pagans will be dealt with. It will be a day of mourning to some degree for the believer, because we will have to give an account for all those words, deeds, and actions. But the giving of an account of that, yes, reflects our sinful nature, but more, it will reflect the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our mourning will turn to great favor. Read you a couple of statements out of the Westminster Confession of Faith. God the Father has adorned a day, Judgment Day, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ, to whom he has given all power and judgment. In that day, not only the apostate angels be judged, but all the people who have lived on the earth and will appear before the court of Christ to give an account of their thoughts, words, and actions and be judged according to what they have done in the body, whether good or evil. So everyone will step before the Lord Jesus Christ on that judgment day. Everyone who has ever walked this earth. God's purpose in arranging for this day is to show forth his glory and mercy in his eternal salvation of his chosen people, and the glory of his justice in the damnation of the reprobate who are wicked and disobedient. At that time, the righteous will go into everlasting life and receive that fullness of joy and refreshment which will come from the presence of the Lord. But the wicked, who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, will be thrown into eternal torment and punished with everlasting destruction away from the presence of God. Judgment Day is coming. And that will be a great day for us who believe. We will have to give an account. But then we will see and feel like we never have before the great mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. One final word of assurance from Jude, verse 24. It's called a doxology. Glory given, honor given to God. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, assurance, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Now to him who keeps you from stumbling, being kept for Jesus Christ, to present you blameless, you are called and you live in the love of God. Yes, you have to give an account, but you will not be held accountable because your sin has been covered by the grace and work of Jesus Christ. Judgment day is coming, but it shouldn't be a day we fear. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love and grace and this fantastic word given to us by Jude, terrifying to say the least. That day your wrath will be poured out upon those who have defiled your holy ones, your word, refuted and turned against your Son. And, O Lord, as we have learned here, these who believe, these who have confessed Jesus Christ are being kept for that day, kept for Jesus Christ, kept in the love of God, called to an everlasting eternal life with Jesus Christ. Father, help us through these days as we are being challenged in the church. Give us strength and courage to be vigilant, to be strong, to fight for the truth, stand for the truth. We pray in Jesus Christ's holy name, amen and amen.